Hi, Vanya.
Hi, Mike Jensen. Hey, there is a jackhammer outside my house.
Oh, that's fun. That's exciting.
Yeah, I just wanted you to know.
I have currently, it is currently like 34 degrees in New York. It is very, very cold.
Wait, I'm a little shocked. That's crazy.
No, it's crazy pants cold. Like, I left my apartment yesterday knowing it was cold, but like still didn't take a hat or gloves, and then immediately was like, this was a terrible choice.
God.
It is so cold right now. But that said, I will now complain about my lovely warm apartment. It's so warm in my room. Yeah. So I don't have my fan on currently. We're going to see if it stays that way. It's so warm.
Oh, so man. There you go. A little bit of where we are right now.
I know. It's nuts. So this is, we have our second annual Academy Awards coverage that we're doing today. I'm very excited. I'm excited to get into this. I'm a little apprehensive about parts of it, but we're going to see how we do. Because everyone knows this is my favorite day of the year. So
yeah,
we start out, we're back at the Dolby Theater. It looks like they've redone, the front is like chairs and tables. I don't feel like it used to have that, but I like it. Like, I like the sort of comfy setup they have there.
Yeah, me too. I agree. I like that.
And we start off with Venus and Serena, who are here to introduce a performance that's going to be coming from the tennis courts in Compton.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Beyonce performing her song, Be Alive, from King Richard.
That's right. I loved it. Oh my God. I love the art direction from Beyonce's opening. I love the citron color.
Yeah, it's very...
Her sparkly earrings.
Ugh. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's very sort of like monochromatic, but it looks great. This was pre-taped. I don't think that that's a big deal, but you know, I think they just wanted to make sure that it was perfect, so they did tape it ahead of time. But yeah, it looks great. It was fun.
Yes,
we talked about this before, like wanting performance and wanting, you know, it to be a show, and like to start, if you're not going to start with like a montage or like a musical number on stage, start with a musical number representing one of the films. I love that this was the opening.
I agree. I really honestly thought that. I thought about you and our talks of like just give the people some entertainment.
Yes, exactly.
And I felt like they accomplished that in the beginning, the opening.
I feel that way too. Yeah, absolutely. And then we get back to the Dolbys and we have Amy, Wanda, and Regina coming out.
So cute.
Yeah, they look great and they were so funny. DJ Khalid, I don't understand what his thing is, really. He kind of comes out and is like doing the hype man thing.
I never understand anything he does.
It is what it is. I don't really get. Oh, and for the record, Ariana DeBose was also confused. It like pans the audience and Ariana is like, what is going on?
Oh my God, that's so funny. I mean, Amy Schumer, always love. Wanda Sykes, always love. I love Regina. She is so funny.
Yeah.
I thought she did a good job. Yeah. Like, she knew her role.
I thought that she did too. Yeah. I felt like, I mean, obviously Wanda Sykes knows what she's doing on a stage. I felt like Amy Schumer like really like helped move things forward. Like, mm-hmm. She was a very like grounded presence in all of it. I'm not gonna say all of her jokes because you should just watch it. Like, her stuff is so funny to me. And yeah, I didn't know what Regina Hall's vibe was gonna be, but I thought that what she did was very, very funny.
She was like an innocent, which I liked.
Yeah,
you know, she was like the comedic innocence, and she was just like, yep. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I like this year the Academy hired three women to host because it's cheaper than hiring one man.
Good. Messed up.
It was good. I won't say all the jokes. Yeah. You should just watch it. But like, yeah, and the Timothy Chalamet, J.K. Simmons joke I thought was good. I will say, like, yeah, Timothy Chalamet's not wearing a shirt. I don't know.
I approve of it. Yeah. I'm like, you know what? Wear whatever you think is nice and fancy, Timothy.
Yeah, I liked, yeah.
But I did, I loved Regina. She was like, I still smash.
Yeah.
with J.K. Simmons. And I'm like, yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. More smashing.
He's looking good. Yeah. Yeah. The power of the dog joke of like, I've watched it three times and I'm halfway through. That was pretty good.
That's me too.
Yeah. And we get the, you know, the gay awards ceremony in Florida, which I also thought was like a nice shout out to combat what's happening in Florida right now. And we have a very long opening credits where we kind of see who's going to be presenting. And then Amy's back with some stand-up. And it's so good. I'm not going to say any of the jokes because you should just watch it. Like, Amy, I mean, I think her stuff is so funny.
Yeah.
I don't agree with all of it. I thought that being the Ricardos was funny. I definitely laughed at that movie.
I mean,
But I got her point.
Yes, yes. I liked her joke, but I really honestly thought, I like laughed out loud multiple times because
me too.
It was sort of meta, but like I knew
100
what Nicole was doing and I knew what was supposed to happen on the show. You know what I mean? There was this moment I'm like, God, she's so good. It's funny.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. So I don't agree with all of it, but I did think that it was funny. And then, you know, much has been made of the fact that then we have the introduction of her and Daniel Kaluuya, who enter to Africa playing.
Why?
Yeah, it was a weird music choice. It's DJ D-Nice. I don't know anything about him, but he had some interesting song choices as for certain people. You know, I don't know what it really was. I like that Daniel Kaluuya kind of like directs her like to come over to the spot, but she was just showing off her dress.
Exactly. She's like, I'm showing my dress off. Hello.
And I'm obsessed. She has like this glitter around her neck.
Yes.
Like they clearly like did glitter. Oh my gosh. I thought it was so cool looking. I loved that effect.
Yes. She's beautiful. That dress is great.
Yeah. And it's supporting actress or actress in a supporting role. And I think that we kind of knew that it was going to be Ariana DeBose.
Yes.
And it's a great speech.
I thought she did a great job too. So she can stay. So
she can stay.
Next year.
Yeah, we get to have supporting actress.
Yep. Agreed.
We get to
Agreed.
Keep that one in the ceremony. And, you know, I had thought about it before it happened because I was very aware of the fact that no openly queer actor has ever won in an acting category at the Academy Awards. And I thought, like, is it going to happen? Is this it? And there we go. I was really, that was just an extra little special thing with her winning that award.
It was super pleasing.
Yeah.
Even in this weary world that we live in, dreams really do come true. And I'm like, do they? I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. No, but, and I love, she says, an openly queer woman of color who found her strength through art. There is indeed a place for us.
Oh,
I know.
Crying.
And you know what? Yes. I loved it. I loved it so much because it's just, I'm openly queer. Okay. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
It shouldn't, I'm excited that she's the first, but I'm like, let's get out of the fear of being able to talk about it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. It was great. I love her. We have we start introducing the films with sort of little trailers. And so we have Belfast is up first. And then Regina Hall comes out with her COVID joke.
Oh, wait, which one was that?
This was where she was like, we lost some of the test results. We're going to have to do some new tests. And she starts calling up, like, obviously, like, attractive men from the audience.
Oh, right.
To take them backstage.
And then she's like,
I'm
single.
Clothes off.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And it was funny. I mean, it's some people were like, too soon. I'm like, no, we can make it. It's fine. Like, it wasn't that. It was, for me, this is going to be a reoccurring theme for Mike and the Academy Awards.
Okay.
I get very nervous when things feel to not be completely under control.
Yeah.
I think that we've had this conversation before at other things where I start to feel, because like at one point Josh Brolin and Jason Momoa come out to present.
Yeah.
And they become part of the joke and now it starts to feel like improv.
And Mike is not a fan.
It makes me so nervous. So it was funny. I mean, it was funny and everything was fine, but I was just like, the only person who was enjoying it less than me was Kevin Costner.
Oh my God.
I don't know. Has that guy ever laughed? I don't know. I don't know him personally. I'm sure he's a nice guy.
He seems very serious.
Very serious.
Very.
And then it does take a little bit too long for the presentation to start. Like the screen descends and like nothing happens for like, it feels like 8 minutes. It was probably like 5 seconds, but I was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Something's happening. And then, you know, we get the presentation for sound and it's Dune. I kind of thought that Dune was going to take all the technical and spoiler alert. It sure does.
Yeah.
But it's a technical marvel. Like, you know, I was happy for it.
I left that movie thinking, whoa.
Yeah.
Like I felt audio wise, it was pretty special. So,
yeah, I mean, technically, I mean, I also enjoyed it as a film. I will have to watch it again, I think, before part two comes out, because there's so much. It's like someone was having a conversation about it where they were saying it's not even world building. It's not even like, let's introduce this world. It's like, nope, this is just the world. Either you're going to get it or you're not.
Yeah.
So it's a lot, but I enjoyed it. And yeah, technically, I thought it was a pretty spectacular film. And so now we see how they're weaving the pre-show winners into the show. So this award had been presented before the show started. But we see the presentation of the trophy during the ceremony. I thought they did a good job, I guess is my point. Like, I know that there was, we had the conversation about whether or not we thought it was appropriate to do things before the ceremony. I thought the way this worked very, very well.
Yeah, I think I was fine. I was like, yeah, great.
Yeah.
Felt fine.
And then we have a White Men Can't Jump reunion. I never saw this movie, so I don't have any emotional attachment to it.
I didn't either, Mike. We should watch it.
Yeah. I do love Rosie Perez. Like, I'm a big... Like, nothing against Wesley Snipes or Woody Harrelson.
Wesley Snipes looked very skinny. Like,
he does look very skinny.
I was concerned.
Yeah.
Like, I was as concerned for him as I was for Cate Blanchett in the Golden Globes.
Yeah. And this one also, like, goes on a little bit long and starts to meander. And Wesley Snipes misses his cue. And, you know, it's cinematography. And once again, this goes to Dune again. And I did notice here Nicole Kidman has a little jacket over her shoulders. So I guess she was a little cold in there.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, I'm always cold. By the way, it was not the Golden Globes because that didn't happen. It was the...
SAGs.
The SAGs. Thank you. Sorry. I just want
to... Yes. That's all right. I didn't catch it either. Went right past me. Yeah. We come back to the commercial and it's Best Documentary Short, which goes to The Queen of Basketball, which I kind of thought was going to... win it. It's very crowd pleasy, very uplifting and fun. And we're gonna get more to that as we certainly get to the end of the show about how I do think this was a year for crowd pleasing and for people wanting to feel happy. And yeah, well, as we go along, I think that becomes more and more of a theme. And I was sad to hear that the subject of it. So this short is about the first woman who was ever drafted by the NBA. She was actually offered a job in professional basketball and turned it down for various reasons. But she had had a great college career in basketball. And I was sad to hear that she had passed before the film came out. But you could hear her family was there. And that was really fun, like to hear her family like cheering and yelling for her. It's a great short. I don't know if it's available somewhere. But if it is, it's definitely worth watching because it was very enjoyable.
We'll look for it.
Yeah. And then we have the Coda presentation comes next, where once again, we're introducing our best pictures. And then we get into Rachel Zegler and Jacob Elordi. I've never heard his accent. I only know him from Euphoria. So I was like, oh, right, you're Australian. I forgot that.
Right.
And Rachel has a good joke. I liked her little, you know, I'm going to say it wrong, but it was like, I didn't know I would be here 6 days ago.
Yeah,
but,
that which was very cute.
Very funny. I guess this is another entrance music that people kind of called out because they enter to the song Beggin'.
I don't know
either, but there you go. And we get visual effects, which kind of feels like a foregone conclusion.
Right. Dune.
Clearly Dune is gonna take this one. Yeah. So this is also our first multi-person acceptance speech, which is rough in general and leads to some issues as we go along. And I don't know what the rule is. I know that there are other ceremonies, like at the SAGs, you have to, like when cast wins, one person speaks. Like you don't give multiple speeches. One person is selected
appointed,
to talk.
Yeah, right.
Right. And I just sort of feel like, I don't know. I guess it gets tough because in things like this was the first year that sound was one award. Mm-hmm. In the past, it's like sound effects, editing and sound are two different things. So I kind of get that if you have two people that had different jobs that they both get to speak. I don't know. It's tough.
Well, here's what I think about that.
Yeah,
I think there needs to be the rules. So either it is one person is appointed to speak or they run of show people aren't dicks and start music. You know, it's like, and now it's his turn. Like there needs to be no question when they're on stage.
Yeah, because we're going to get to that more later. And it's I don't mean to say that it's all the presenter or all the
speech giver. Yeah.
Award recipients. Yeah, it's not all the responsibility, but it is hard when you say thank you and then pause because it does feel like, oh, that was a good speech. And yeah, that's going to become a recurring thing. But the third guy does get to get his dunk a shoon in. So that was nice.
Yeah.
And then we have extreme sports legends to talk about James Bond.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
And I wrote, we have a Bond montage that is, of course, going to go right into Billie Eilish's song. Or not. We go to a commercial instead. I definitely thought like this was the setup for her to, but you know, we have a commercial.
That would have been nice.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. And we come back and it's the Don't Look Up montage. And then we have Stephanie Beatriz, who enters to La Isla Bonita, which is a great song.
Good song. Love it.
And she's introducing Sebastian Yatra, who's singing Dos Arreguitos. Yeah, it's a good song. It's very pretty and quiet, and he has butterflies on his suit.
I liked his suit. I know my kids, Calvin specifically, my little boy loves that song.
It's very pretty. I think that I've heard talk of like if they had realized what a sensation, and we'll get this later also, we don't talk about Bruno became, that they might have submitted that song instead. But this way they got to perform both of them, kind of.
I'm glad that they did.
So then we have Lily James, Halle Bennett, and Naomi Scott, who are all live-action Disney princesses. So they're, of course, presenting animated feature.
And all I could think was Tom and Pam and Tommy.
Yeah.
Because she plays, Pamela Anderson, and she does a good job.
Holy.
She's like a different person.
So I just watched episode 6 last night. I'm a little behind.
And
episode
wait.
6 is the is where she's being deposed.
Oh, God. Mike, we'll talk about this on the next
episode.
Later.
Okay. But she's so good. It's like stunning to me. All right, yeah. So I'm right there with you. And I'm gonna fully admit I was kind of pulling for Flea. Like I wanted Flea to win something, but it's Encanto, which is not surprising at all. And Encanto is a great film. Like nothing against it at all.
I saw every single one except for Flea, and I will say any of those. I loved Luca.
Yeah, Luca's great. Raya. Yeah, they were all very good.
The Mitchells.
Yeah,
yeah. But Encanto definitely is like it's like freaking cocaine for children. They love it.
Yeah.
They need more. They want more. They need it.
That should be on the poster. Cocaine for children. And it's a great speech about inclusion and diversity. So, oh, and I do notice we have some masks in the audience.
Okay. Yeah.
Just FYI.
Maybe they weren't feeling well, or
maybe they had a little tickle in their throat. Yeah. Yeah. And we have the presentation of stand and cheer moments. Was this selected by Twitter?
Both Adam and I were like, what the hell is happening right now? What is happening?
It's so weird because a scene from Zack Snyder's Justice League gets the top spot. So maybe we shouldn't let Twitter decide things. Like of all time, that's the greatest stand and cheer moment ever.
The answer to that is shut up. That's my answer. That's my answer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fine if you liked it, but like just shut up.
Yeah, I don't. It was not my favorite moment in the show. It wasn't my least favorite, but it wasn't my favorite. And then we have an animated short film, which goes to the windshield wiper. And I don't know what to say other than I did not super enjoy any of the animated shorts this year. Mm. I think that you should check out Robin. It's probably the most mainstream. Oh, you did?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, we watched that one.
I watched that one. I was like, I think that the kids would really enjoy
this. They did love it.
It was fun.
Yeah.
So I was surprised they didn't win, but the windshield wiper, I did not understand this at all. And that's not on them. It's on me. This was one of those shorts that I watched and I was like, what is happening? It was a weird year for short animated films, but you know. And then we have the Drive My Car presentation. And then, so I say we have Wanda Sykes, who in part is introducing the band for the second hour, and we are at 1 hour and 12 minutes. So we are already a little bit behind.
Yeah.
Which is fine. That's going to happen. But I was like, ooh, second hour, an hour and 12 minutes in. All right. And then we go to the Academy Museum, which I really want to go to. We talked about this too.
That's all I could think of, Mike, was like, I just was seething with like pure shame and sadness that we didn't get to go. But I did get to go, and I've been in all those rooms. It's really fun. It's a great experience.
We'll get there. And the Barbra Streisand Bridge, and there's an empty space to honor Hattie McDowell, but they could also just make her a new award, right?
I feel like, yeah.
I'm kind of like, instead of the empty space, maybe just make another one. And then I did hear, I thought that the joke about Harvey Weinstein when they show the orc's face was funny, because you know that actually one of the orcs was designed to look like Harvey Weinstein.
No, I didn't know.
Yeah, that's a behind-the-scenes Lord of the Rings little piece of trivia, because they hated him so much that they made an orc mask that was Harvey Weinstein's face, and I kind of wonder if that was it.
Oh my god.
So that's a double joke right there.
Dang. It's a deep cut, Mike. I'm glad. I'm impressed you know that.
Yeah. Oh, I like the Lord of the Rings. I watched all the behind-the-scenes stuff. And then we have Yun-Yun-Jeon is there to present, and she has her pronunciation joke, which is, it is funny, but I had moments where I'm like, I don't know if this is a gag or if she really.
I didn't think it was a gag. I was very worried.
I was a little bit nervous.
She was so cute though when What's His Buns won.
Yeah, it's Troy Kutzer. Yeah, it's just a little long, but I'm an ass. Like it's fine. I was just like, is she gonna say a name? What's happening?
And then the guy, the handler, kept trying to kind of pull her back. And
so funny. I thought it was so funny.
She's so cute though.
Yeah, you can see the hand. There's kind of like, step back this way. But no, she's going to be part of this.
Yeah, she was right next to him and like just adoringly. I loved it. I was like, you know what? Yes. Put her in.
No, it's very cute. And he's great. And the speech is great. And I do love that everyone is just so happy for him. And I had that moment where he takes the award from her. And I'm like, you're going to have to give that award back to her in order to give your speech. Which you kind of see them both realize that too. And it was great. I mean, like everything about it was really, really lovely. And he tells the story of his dad.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, we have to talk about that because then the interpreter's voice starts to crack as he's telling. And I'm gone. I was just like, ugh.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't know maybe like the translator knew the
they
father
must be
or maybe
friends.
It was just like, holy, that killed me.
What if
I mean,
the translator
was
literally just acting?
Yeah. He just felt like that was what
he knew.
It should be. Like he knew how to deliver this message. it was very, very good. And then we're back and it's Tiffany Haddish and Simu Liu to present international film. And the flirty banter is funny.
I liked it.
The banter gets a little bit, but yeah, no, it was funny. I think he's very cute. I enjoy.
And she's pretty.
Yeah. And it's Drive My Car wins, which isn't surprising because I feel like if you're the international international film that's also nominated for picture, you're probably gonna end up winning. But I will admit I was kind of pulling for The Worst Person in the World, which I super enjoyed.
I haven't seen it yet, but I have heard
it's really good.
Yeah, one of my friends, Christopher, also was like, you have to see it, it's really good.
I was very nervous because I don't enjoy film or TV shows that are about people just like making terrible choices.
Yeah.
And I was a little bit nervous that this was going to be, and it's not. Like, it really is about someone who's trying to be their best self. And I thought it was very well acted, really, really well written. Yeah, definitely worth checking. And I liked Drive My Car. Like, I did watch the whole 3-hour movie, and it feels about 3 hours. Like, it doesn't feel more than 3 hours, but it feels 3 hours. Like, it feels the length that it is. And I don't mean that in a bad way. And the acting is amazing, but I definitely, yeah. If I'm going to suggest one or the other, I would say The Worst Person in the World.
Okay.
So when he gets up to get the award, I will say the interpreter's there writing things down, and I'm not exactly sure why.
Again, also very confused. I was like, what is she doing? Is she checking things off and making sure? But no, she was making notes.
Yeah, I think that she was getting ready for if she had to step in. I can imagine the idea of like, I might become too emotional to speak in not my native language, so I want someone next to me.
Yeah.
That's what I think it ended up being, was that he just was able to give his speech in English, and so she wasn't needed, but she was there just in case. And this was an example of him saying thank you and then pausing, and then the music starts playing. So it is a little bit like, oh, but because it's tough. But he comes back and he thanks the cast, and it all works out fine. And then did you see Tiffany Haddish trying to get off stage in time?
No, I missed that.
Her dress is so tight. You see her like, she's just like hustling, like trying her best to like get off stage before the next thing happens.
So much.
Yeah, it was pretty good. And then Mila Kunis is there. And I did have that because Mila Kunis is Ukrainian and has spoken out a bit on this. And, you know, they sort of have a moment of referencing things that are happening in the world. But she's really there to introduce Reba McEntire, who is performing Somehow You Do by 13-time Oscar nominee Diane Warren.
Huh.
She's going to win at some point, right? I mean, I do feel kind of...
Diane Warren?
Yeah, she's written... I mean, if you look at the list of her songs, you'd be like, oh, yeah. This is her 13th nominated Best Song at the Academy Awards.
Wow.
So... But she's fine. She's doing okay. And then we do have me, and you know, it's tough. And there's been a lot of talk. I was just listening to Sam Waterston on Fresh Air, and he takes a moment at the start to be like, it's really hard to talk about my career with what's happening in the world right now. And I think that it's such a tough balance of like, because art is important, to quote Nicole Kidman when she won her Academy Award back shortly after a war had started. Because we do need art still, and we need moments to honor what's being produced and what's inspiring us and making us feel good. But it is tough, and I think that the balance that they struck was pretty good with like moments of reflection and the information that would come up on the screen about Ukraine. And it's tough. I don't know. I don't have the great answer for it, but we have the Ukrainian information that comes up before we go to commercial. And when we come back, it's short live action, and Riz Ahmed accepts for The Long Goodbye, which was a very... I enjoyed... On the flip side of what I was saying before, I enjoyed all of the live action shorts. I thought were very, very well done. I really enjoyed this one. I definitely would also suggest checking out Please Hold, which I believe is on HBO Max. It's a different short that I thought was going to win, not because I thought it was better, but I would suggest checking out both of them. They're both very, very good. I really enjoyed the short live action films this year. I thought they were really, really all well done. And then it's the Doom presentation, and then Lupita Nyong'o and Ruth E. Carter presenting costume. And I think everyone kind of knew this was going to be Cruella.
I had to.
Those costumes are insane.
I mean, I have a degree in costume design, but I will tell you, I've watched this movie 3 times just to see more of the costumes.
It's insane. I mean, what beautiful. They do is incredible with costuming.
So good.
And it's interesting. I want to like know more behind the scenes because it's Jenny Bevan who wins. And she's won 3 times. And sometimes I want new people to win, but you can't really argue with her wins.
It's true. And what I love that she said, she was a cool person because she's like, I only accepted to do this movie after I knew if I could get this team. Her assistant or whatever, and the team.
Right, yeah.
And because the truth is it is a management job. being a costume designer. I mean, yes, you are designing, but you are delegating. It is a huge undertaking. And then she also, you know, shouted out to the makeup and hair who complete the look.
Absolutely.
And I loved her speech. Yeah, I loved her so much. But I do have notes because the Academy people need to just calm the hell down. Actually listen. She starts to talk about what's going on in the world in Ukraine for a second, and that's when they blast the music. I'm like, give her just pause for a moment.
Yeah.
Just a moment.
Once again, it's hard. It's hard because I on one hand, can completely understand, like, whoever is directing the show is looking at their watch and thinking, like, we're getting further and further behind. And listen, speeches went on this year. Even speeches that I loved, I had moments of like, ooh, we need to keep this going.
Yeah.
Or we just need to call it a four-hour show. I don't know. Like,
yeah, call it a four-hour show.
One way or the other. But no, I totally get what you're saying. But I think she got to get through her whole speech, which was, you know, at least she was able to get through that. And then it's John Leguizamo to talk about representation. And, you know, the Oscar statue is modeled after a Mexican-American actor / director, Emilio Fernandez, which
That's
I don't think
so
that I knew
cool.
that. Yeah.
Man, he must have been a nice looking piece of meat.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. But, you know, it's a nice body, so.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're really here to introduce, we don't talk about Bruno, kinda.
Right.
So it's, you know, it starts out pretty familiarly. And then Megan Thee Stallion is there.
Yeah, and then she's like, now I'm going to talk about some really dirty stuff. Just kidding, it's not that dirty, because this is a kid's song.
Yeah, and Zendaya's loving it. And it sort of turns into a song about the Oscars instead.
Yeah.
And I think it was just to, like, give it a moment. And that's fine. Like, I don't mind. It's a fun, big production number. And
it was super
fun. Let's have more of those. I don't mind that at all. Mm-hmm. And then BTS is in a pre-tape bit to talk about their favorite musical films. Okay.
Good for you guys.
Good for you. That's fun. And then it's the King Richard presentation. And then Wanda Sykes comes out dressed as King Richard in her little white shorts.
Oh my God, I love Wanda Sykes. I just love her.
Yeah. And then Regina comes out as Tammy Faye. And then Amy descends as Spider-Man. I thought this was a fun moment where they're just kind of all doing their things. And yeah. I think everything Amy Schumer does is hilarious. So. Yeah. And then it's a Juno 15-year reunion with Jennifer Garner, Elliot Page, and J.K. Simmons.
Isn't that interesting? Wow.
Yeah,
time flies.
Yeah, 15 years. That's pretty, and you know, it won original screenplay, so we're here to present original screenplay, and Belfast wins. And, you know, Kenneth Branagh, it was his 8th nomination. I didn't fact check this, but I've been told that he has been nominated in more categories than anyone else ever.
Wow.
That he's been nominated in picture, director, adapted screenplay, original screenplay, I think leading actor and supporting actor, but one of those might be wrong. So, you know, you can't really begrudge him finally winning an Oscar after 8 nominations.
I'll buy that. I just am mad at him for hurting Emma Thompson. That's all. I don't know if he did, but I assume he did.
Isn't that funny, though, that like 20-something years later, we're still... Because I have the exact same thought. And they're both fine. Emma Thompson is married to the super hot guy from Sense and Sensibility.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He's... Like, they're everyone's fine.
But I'm mad.
Vanya, I'm 100%... I will forever be... I think it's hilarious that we've never talked about this. Because I am exactly... Whenever I see him, all I can think is, you hurt Emma.
I know!
We don't know the situation. Like, we don't know what happened.
It's true.
Oh, that's so hilarious.
Maybe it's because a little bit of much ado, you know?
Much ado about nothing. That's totally what it is.
If I were a man.
Hilarious. Yeah. And then we have Shawn Mendes and Tracee Ellis Ross here to talk about adapted screenplay. And this is the other banter where I'm like, I don't know about this banter.
Yeah, I missed that.
It's fine. We get there. Yeah. And then, you know, Coda wins. And I will say that I was kind of rooting for the lost daughter, but I'm still very happy for Sean Hader, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
And she's dressed like a disco ball, which I thought was also fun.
I love disco balls.
So now we have the 5 fan favorites. And I've never heard of number 3. And I truly didn't know that number 1 was released. Like, I'd heard of Army of the Dead. I knew it was a thing that was happening. I don't know. I don't understand these. There was talk of a moment of like giving an award for this. Like, can you imagine if Army of the Dead got an Academy Award for fan favorites?
Also, who's voting?
I don't know. I don't know.
What fans
this
are voting? No
this
one told me.
Work for me.
I didn't get to vote.
No one told me either. Yeah. So we're back with original score, which goes to Dune. And it's Hans Zimmer, who isn't there. But this score was amazing.
Remarkable, yeah.
I think that he's won several times. Like, I should have looked that up, too. But you know, it's very, very good. And then it's the Licorice Pizza presentation into Rami Malek doing kind of a creepy walk through the audience, introducing Billy and Phineas performing No Time to Die. And she sounds great. It's a great performance. I actually really do like this song.
I do too.
And then we have another, what is this? Oh, after another commercial, it's film editing, which also goes to Dune, Joe Walker. And I love, he says that the words Oscar nominated can be used by a skilled 17-year-old as an insult, which I really enjoyed, where his daughter being like, Oscar nominated Joe Walker. Which I thought is very, very good. And then the Nightmare Alley presentation. And Regina and Wanda are there with consolation prizes, which is a funny bit. I saw The Last Duel. They have a joke about how nobody, including the director, saw The Last Duel, which I get it was a huge flop. But
I did not.
I did see it. It was a good movie. If you get a chance, you should check it out. No one did. I mean, the joke works because nobody saw that movie, but I actually rather enjoyed it. And then what do we have here? Oh, yeah. So now we're told we're heading into the next, and I'm assuming final hour, and we are at 2 hours and 24 minutes. So
yeah.
we're getting a little bit further behind now. It's what's going to happen. And we get a full orchestra now. We've moved from DJ to band to orchestra. And Chris Rock comes out and makes a joke about masklessness, and we have a Macbeth King Lear joke and Javier Bardem and Penelope Cruz joke. And then it happens. And I don't know how much we want to talk about it.
Well,
I don't.
I want to say something. I just want to say that it's really uncomfortable seeing an adult out of control.
Yeah.
And I just read Will Smith's book and I felt like I had some insight. And I, you know, one of my diggings was his show on YouTube about overcoming stuff. And then also, you know, my kids love this show on Disney that where he goes and learns about science. He just seemed like a smarter adult.
Yeah, it's tough. And I, once again, I don't know how much I want to like pontificate upon it. It was awful. I mean, it was a really terrible moment, I think, for everyone.
Yeah.
I just think that, and I, in a million years, don't want to make it about me, but I was gone. Like the rest of the show, I was barely present for. Like it was very hard to like get back into.
I don't think anyone in that audience could recover and enjoy that.
Yeah.
It's like, it's basically like when, you know, you're, and I know that Will Smith doesn't drink, but like when you're, I'm not my drunk uncle, but I'm just saying when somebody in your family that you trust gets belligerent and is scary, it just felt so wrong. And then honestly, most I feel bad for is his wife, who he was quote unquote defending, but people don't want violence to be defended. I mean, and I know we don't have to pontificate, but like, if you really were upset about that joke and you knew your wife's feelings were super hurt, there's better ways to make him look like an asshole. Now you look like an asshole because you just did something completely like shocking and not in a fun way. Not in like a, nobody wants the Ronaldo show on Oscars night, you know?
Yeah, and you know, honestly, on the opposite side of things, I think that Chris Rock did a very good job getting to the award for documentary.
I can't believe, yeah.
You could tell that he was shaken. You could tell that he was unsure of what to do next.
And he's not pressing charges.
He's not. No, which I didn't think that he was going to. To be clear, I don't think that, yeah, I don't know. It's hard. I have many, many thoughts and I don't know how many I need to share, but you know.
I didn't think he was going to either, but we don't have to talk about it, but I think a lot of people are thinking about it, and you know, I know our listeners want to know what we think. So.
Yeah. So I will say just real quickly, I don't think that he should go to jail. I don't think he should have been arrested. I don't think they should take his Oscar away. Like, I don't think any of that is going to happen or should happen.
No.
I don't think that he should have stayed at the ceremony.
Yeah.
I think that he should have been quietly asked to leave, and people can disagree with that and decide whether or not.
Oh no, I think that's great.
But that was my feeling. Every time they came back and he was still sitting there, I was like, wow, he's still there.
That is bizarre.
It was a surprising decision to me. But so Questlove does acknowledge the other nominees, which I love.
I love Questlove. I love you, Questlove. Vanya loves Questlove.
Yeah, and I really love taking that moment of like, here are the other people or films or whatever that were in this category. And you know, documentary feature was I saw everything, so I saw all of them.
Rub it in my face, Mike.
there were some really, really amazing documentaries in there. And Summer of Soul was amazing. So I'm very, very happy for it. But I love that the moment was taken to kind of acknowledge acknowledge the other. And I, you know, even his moment where he gets emotional and I kind of emotional of like, you know, this festival was something that he wishes his mom and dad would have taken him to when he was five. And that, you know, it was beautiful. It was a lovely, lovely acceptance speech. And, you know, we go right into Sean Combs, who comes out next and acknowledges the host, which I also enjoyed. And he acknowledges what had just happened. And I don't know.
What did he say? Because I missed some of this.
Yeah, he just says, you know, Will and Chris and I are going to get together and solve this like families do. And I don't know. Will and Jada are already laughing about it. I don't know. I understood what Sean Combs was doing and I appreciated his words. And I also have, I don't know. Once again, not about me, but yeah, I just never came is, back. Though. I was just like, yeah. I was, you know, we witnessed an assault.
We did.
And then we had to go back and be like, it's the Academy Awards. I don't know. Yeah.
Not okay.
It was tough. Yeah. So then we realized the reason that he's actually there is to present the Godfather anniversary and we have like the montage of the three films. And then afterwards it's Francis Ford Coppola, Robert De Niro, and Al Pacino coming out. And I love that Coppola says, I feel like moments like this should be sincere and brief.
Yeah.
Thank you, Francis Ford Coppola. And he gives a very, very lovely speech where he acknowledges the writer of The Godfather and one of the studio executives in the day. And then, you know, acknowledges Ukraine and that's it. It was beautiful and succinct, and I very much enjoyed it. You know, I've only ever seen I finally saw the first Godfather like 6 months ago, I want to say.
Oh, yeah, I remember. You haven't seen the second one yet?
I've still never seen the second one.
Oh, my.
I know. I will. I mean to.
Okay.
So one of these days I'll get to that, hopefully sooner rather than later. And then, okay, so now we have Tyler Perry starting off the In Memoriam talking about Sidney Poitier. And there were many things about this In Memoriam that I enjoyed. I enjoyed the moments, like Bill Murray talking about Ivan Reitman and Jamie Lee Curtis talking about Betty White. Like, I enjoyed those personal moments. Here was my only issue, and if I'm the only person that felt this way, then it's on me and not on them. But as the number became a little bit more boisterous and ornate's the wrong word, but as it becomes more performative, I started watching the performers and not the people that we were supposed to be honoring.
Oh, yeah.
And if that was just me, then that's just me. But I remember being like, oh, you're watching like them dancing and not watching the people that are being honored. So I had mixed feelings about that. Like, I was happy that it was more
good information.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't want that.
Yeah. Yeah. I had to actually go back and watch it again. So I had mixed feelings about that. I liked that it was more upbeat. I'm totally down for that. But I did sort of wonder if we weren't distracting from what we were supposed to be doing in that moment. So
yeah.
We come back with production design, and I think at this point we're not surprised that it's Dune.
Right.
You know, and of course, I mean, once again, we already said it. The production of that film was absolutely staggering. And then it's the Power of the Dog presentation. And then Zoe Kravitz and Jake Gyllenhaal are here to present the award for original song.
Were they mad about the joke about couples? Remember?
I thought it was so funny. It's a night for lovers. And for the record, Maggie Gyllenhaal was laughing very much in the background. Like, Maggie Gyllenhaal thought it was very funny. I'm hoping that Jake was doing the sort of a bit, because like, it was funny. Come on, that's a funny joke.
Yeah, obviously they're brother and sister and not lovers.
It was very good. Yeah. And then Billy and Phineas win, and I will just say, and she's under no obligation to do so, but Diane Warren does not even pretend to smile. Like, Diane Warren was sitting right next to Billie Eilish and Phineas, and she's just like,
oh man,
like, not, it's fine. I mean, it does cut to Beyonce, who takes a minute to be like, oh, smile. And it's fine. You don't have to be happy that you just lost an award, but you know.
Yeah.
It was a good song. And I do love, you know what? I was really happy that she was so happy, because I feel like there was sort of that Grammy Awards where Billie Eilish kept winning, and she seemed to sort of be upset that she was winning at a certain point. And I think that that's, I get it to a certain extent, but also don't love that we're, you know what, you're winning awards. You're allowed to be happy about that. You're allowed to be happy on that. And she seemed really sincerely excited that she had won an Academy Award. And I also love how Phineas had his moments where he says, he acknowledges his parents and say, we love you as parents and we love you as real people too.
That's awesome. Just, oh my gosh.
It was very, very good. Yeah.
That's my goal.
And then, yeah, it was good. And then Kevin Costner's here, and he does make like an adult movie joke, which I was funny. His introduction goes on for 2 minutes and 46 seconds. Yes, I timed it. It's a very long introduction leading into Jane Campion winning after having been the first woman ever nominated in this category twice.
Right.
And she's only the third woman to win, but I also love that it's 2 years in a row that it's been women.
Yes.
And she says that Kevin Costner's speech was very dramatic, and I laughed. I laughed very hard. Anyways, it's fine. And it's a written speech, which I'm always a little bit mixed when they like take out the paper and read off of it. But it's a good speech, so I'm happy with it. And then we have a Pulp Fiction reunion, and it's fun, I guess. I also have never seen Pulp Fiction.
Mike!
I know.
What?
It was 1994. Like, that was sort of before I started really caring about seeing the nominees.
Okay.
I also don't like violent films.
No, it's very violent. It's actually uncomfortably violent. Yeah, you may not like it.
So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how I would feel about it.
It's the history of growing up, you know, seeing it. I saw it a lot as a kid.
Yeah.
So
And this is once again, like, it starts to feel a little not in control, but it's, and it is overall funny. And they have, I do know the bit of opening the suitcase and how we don't ever know what's in there. And that in this case, in the suitcase is
right.
The envelope that's for, you know, actor in a leading role. And of course, Will Smith gets the Academy Award. And I don't know what I want to say about this speech. The only thing that I want to say about it, and I'm not making something up, I know it's been said by many people, but love never causes violence. Ever.
Yeah. No, it doesn't.
He does a lot of that. So I don't know. If there's something more you want to say about it, we can talk more about it, but I'm also fine to just skip over this speech entirely.
That's fine. We can skip over it. I actually didn't watch it because I was too uncomfortable, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah, it's pretty. And I don't love that people stood for him when he won. I don't know. And I wasn't in the room. And I think there was a certain amount of like uncertainty in the room as to what was happening. So anyways, so we get back from the commercial and it's makeup and hairstyling, which obviously had been done before. But I did love that we got to see Jessica Chastain because Eyes of Tammy Faye wins. And I just want to say, is Linda Dowds, Stephanie Ingram, and Justin Raleigh, and they all won their first nomination, their first time winning. Like, wow. I thought that was great. Like, these people who clearly worked very, very hard, and I'm guessing not a very large budget, and did beautiful work and got an Academy Award for it. That's awesome.
That is awesome.
And it's the West Side Story presentation, and then Amy Schumer is here to break the tension, which I very much, very much enjoyed. Her like, something happened. The vibe feels very different.
Yeah.
And it was good. And she gets a fist bump from Tiffany Haddish. And she has her seat filler bit where she you know, mistakes Kirsten Dunst for a seat filler. It was funny. I enjoyed it. I loved mostly all of it. I would have cut the downbeat ending because she does then segue into like, so there's a genocide and women and trans people are losing their rights. All things that are true. But I feel like we'd already had our dose of darkness maybe for the night.
Yeah.
And like maybe we just needed to be upbeat at this point.
We already had our dose of darkness for the night. I like that, Mike.
And then Anthony Hopkins is there. And I was so happy that he was there. You know, he wasn't there last year when he ended up winning.
Right.
Which I think in many ways it was maybe better that he wasn't there last year because it was that weird thing where, he got his standing ovation and I wonder if he would have gotten it last year. So much had been hyped up about this category. And mm-hmm. So I like that he was there. I don't know. He mentions Will Smith in Peace and Love and Quiet. And I'm kind of like, I don't know if you heard everything that was happening tonight, but... And then as we're presenting the nominees, I just wrote these five women. Like, I just, every clip that came up, I'm like, yeah, you should win. Mm-hmm. Like every single performance that they show, I'm just like, these performances were amazing this year. But I'm just Jessica Chastain, and I was so happy for her. And she says the other actresses' names. And once again, I just love that. I love that she takes that moment of like,
yeah,
I love all four of you. And it's great. And she, you know, it's a lofty speech. You know, she gets into bigotry and acceptance and talks about, you know, suicide rates in this day and age, which is a thing that we've discussed not too long ago. And she does it well, I guess, is my point. It's a very, she reaches for a lot of things. And I feel like she gets it very well. And it's a beautiful speech. And I was very happy for her. And then as she leaves, Shallow starts playing. And my first thought was, oh, Gaga's going to present Best Picture. Like, that's a pretty big category for Lady Gaga to present, but it's not just her. Liza Minnelli is there.
Oh yeah.
And you know, I know people that weren't wild about what Gaga did here, that they thought that she was maybe being condescending. I don't think that she was. I think she was being completely sincere. I think that she, you know, it's tough. Liza Minnelli's getting up there and she's not super well, and she's been in a wheelchair for a while. And if I was not to say that I had certain flashes to, you know, my mom towards the end of her life, I would be lying. And it was, some of it was a little bit difficult to watch, but I thought that they got through it well. And I thought that, I really do think that Lady Gaga was sincerely there to like help.
Absolutely.
And her moments of like, I've got you, and Liza's, you know, I know you do, where I really enjoyed it.
I think, yeah, if people think that she was being condescending, then what's wrong with you? I'm sorry if you're my friend and you think that, but can you imagine someone going up on stage, and I'm sure that Liza is one of her ultimate idols.
100%.
Do you know what I mean? Like, she's definitely like, I will do anything for you. I am here for you, you know?
I feel like I'm making up the fact that I was there at Madison Square Garden the night that Liza was there. Maybe I just read about it, but in my mind, that was the performance that I was at. So we're going to go with that. We're gonna write history that I was there. I like that. When Gaga was like, and Liza's here. I'm not going to say where she is, but she's here and I love her. And
yeah.
Yeah, one of her huge, huge inspirations. And Best Picture goes to Coda. And, you know, it is inspiring to see an entire audience applauding.
Yeah, that's
you
fun.
Know, and they're doing the
jazz hands.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think that it's Fabrizi Gianfermi who talks first. It's all three men that I don't know who is who. And two of them get to speak. And then the third guy tries to. And I don't know. It's tough because honestly, part of me is like, I'm so happy for your win. And this is probably a once in a lifetime thing. And I want you to have your moment. I don't mean this in a rude way. No one watching cares about a third speech. Like, I just feel like it's that hard thing of like,
We're done.
Like, the show's over. You don't all three get to talk. I don't know. It's a tough one because, you know, the hosts are out in their pajamas and that's it. And that's the end of the show. And, and you know, a thing that I was thinking about, because I thoroughly enjoyed Coda. If you had asked me a month ago to put the order of which I thought a film would win Best Picture, I don't know where in the order it would have been. It would not have been near the top, though. And once again, not because I didn't like it or because I thought it was not well done. I thought it was a beautiful film. So as I look at the films this year, and I know we have to wrap up.
No,
I'm
excited. Tell okay? me. Yes.
I have a ton of respect for a lot of films that came out this year. And I think that there were so many incredible performances. I didn't, in the past, or not that long ago, when I'm that person who buys DVDs, I don't think I would feel the need to own anything that came out this year. I honestly think my favorite film this year, I think my favorite film was Free Guy.
I love that truly, movie! Like,
and I don't mean that as a negative thing towards any of the movies that came out. Once again, so many things that I thought were really, really cool and really well made. It was a sort of dour year for films. Like, a lot of almost everything was kind of down.
Yeah,
was kind of like dark and sad and not super pleasant. And I don't think that art should always be pleasant. I think that art should make you feel all kinds of things. I think that what Coda had going for it, along with the fact that it was a well-made film and it's a great Cinderella story, this little film that was made for nothing, that man, did Apple make an expensive and in the end very good decision in purchasing this film. For it to then go on to win Best Picture at the Academy Awards, that's an amazing
story.
That's
yeah.
the story we all dream of.
Yeah.
I think that the other thing it had going for it was that it was happy. It's a happy film where happy things happen. And I think particularly this year, people wanted to see a film that was going to make them feel happy.
Agreed.
And so good for it, you know, and I mean that sincerely. I get that. I think that that's sort of where a part of the psychology this year is like, you know, Nightmare Alley was grand and beautiful, but you don't leave that film feeling super cheerful, you know, like even like a West Side Story, is one of my favorite musicals of all time. You don't get to the end and are like, yay. Like all of these movies sort of end with that feeling of like, burr, burr.
Yeah.
And Coda didn't. Coda gave you, you know, spoiler alert. Coda gives you like the uplift. It gives you the happy. It gives you the good feelings. And I think that ended up being something that people really, really wanted this year.
I love that.
So there you go. Those are my overall thoughts on the Academy Awards. And I've never had a problem in the last 3 years with there not being a host. Thank whoever you want to thank that there were hosts this year.
Yeah, and women.
And women, yes. And funny, and they did such a great job.
Yeah.
I was super into it. So, you know, I also feel like all the issues that I had with last year, and I didn't think last year was terrible. I just thought that for an Academy Awards ceremony, it was a little underwhelming. And I thought that so much of that was rectified this year, you know?
Yes.
And I don't want that one moment to take away from all the beautiful things that happened this year.
Yeah.
There were so many great things that happened. And, you know, I actually watched it 2.5 times because I watched it as it was happening. And then I started to rewatch and I could only get to Ariana DeBose because I didn't want to go to anything past that. And then I made myself rewatch it again last night as I took my notes, and I was able to kind of then take in the last third of it.
Well, that's good.
And, you know, there are great things, beautiful things that happen in there. So I hope
there is
that those will be remembered as well.
But I will say it's okay to acknowledge being a little traumatized.
I think so, too. I think that that's okay.
If you have to, we can't pretend like it didn't happen, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So there you go. Yeah.
I've lost a lot of respect for him. Well, can I tell you a random thing that I thought would be fun?
Yes, please. Give me your random stuff.
So I was looking up some, because I never have random stuff. So I'm like, I'm going to be the most random queen this season. You guys don't even know. So here's my random Oscar fact. There's a couple, but here's the one that I thought was most interesting, or not most, but the one I want to talk about right now. Oscar winners, upon being presented with their award, which maybe, Mike, you know this, must sign an agreement stating that if they wish to sell their statuettes, they must first offer them to the Academy for $1. If they refuse, they cannot keep their trophy. The rule has been in effect since 1950, which means that older statues do sometimes appear on the open market. And it goes on to talk about how Steven Spielberg bought Betty Davis's Oscar for $578,000. He also bought Clark Gable's the Best Actor Oscar from 1934. Anyways, you can't just sell your Oscar. You have to, if you do that, then you're going to get in big trouble.
Yeah, I also had never noticed, and I wonder if this was a different thing this year, that when they presented their statues, it didn't have the gold plate on it yet. That, like, they legitimately got a statue without any kind of even place for a marking.
Whoa.
And then you would go backstage and they would have they would etch it for you and then actually attach it to the statue backstage, which I thought was really, really interesting.
Oh, wow. Fascinating. So yeah, that's my little fun fact for
I like it. I like it a lot.
Episode.
And I'm super excited to go to the museum with you when I visit next time.
Me too. Well, I'm glad we got to talk through it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And thanks everyone for listening. I hope this was a fun little recap of the Academy Awards, and I like that we now have a tradition.
I love it. One day we'll do it together. One day we're going to go. And that is a goal.
One day we're going to go. Absolutely. Now, are we back next week or are we off next week?
Oh, yes. We are off next week. I will be on spring break with my children. So I have a lot to say after that.
Gotcha. So we'll be back in 2 weeks. Yeah, we'll be back in 2 weeks to our regularly scheduled programming.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk to y'all then.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Thank Bye. You, guys. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex and the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avrin and Vanya, alongside Avrin Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores, and email us at MikeandVanyaCan'tNot@gmail. We're also on Twitter. Why? No one knows, but you can follow us there at Mike and Vanya. We'll be back in 2 weeks. And Regina and Wanda are there with consolation. Consolation? Nope, not at all. Consolation prizes, which is a funny bit.